At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game on this Monday morning. Vince Ferrara coming up at high noon. We head east, check in with him in Knoxville, and then former Titan safety Bernard Pollard in the final hour of the program. So another loaded show here on this Monday, and right now we talk with TD. Teron Davenport on the line with us, ESPN, ESPN.com, NFL Nation reporter, covering the Tennessee Titans. Teron, I know you're a baseball fan. I don't know if you got a chance to watch Long Gone Summer last night. If you did, what did you think?
Yeah, I got a chance to watch it. It was pretty good, man. Reminded me of that summer. I remember that home run race. I remember the home run derby, man. It was a lot of fun, even though, you know, I'm not a fan of either team. It still was cool to watch. I enjoyed it.
The what we were just talking about. How do you think you would have handled it? You played sports. If you were introduced to that in whatever sport you were playing and you knew it could advance you or enhance your playing ability, how do you think you would have handled that if there were no rules or penalties?
I would have stayed away from it because, you know, seeing what happened to Lyle Alzado, that really did it for me. And, you know, I had a college teammate who fooled with that stuff. And, there was no way I was going to touch that, man. The furthest I went was creatine. You know, that was about as supplemental as I was getting. Because, like I said, that Lyle Alzado, seeing how he just deteriorated, you know, that one kind of had an effect on me that made me for sure wouldn't even consider it.
Yeah. Speaking of that, something off the beaten path of the Titans that we're getting to in just a moment. I actually, over the weekend, watched the E60 piece on Alex Smith, and it's the first time I've actually watched it from start to finish.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
A hard watch, man. That is a real – for someone who is squeamish and somebody who doesn't like needles or blood or, like, I could never be a doctor ever because I couldn't do that. I just don't like to look at that stuff. That was a hard watch. Man, I didn't realize what Alex Smith has gone through over the last couple of years.
Yeah, when they showed the calf, like with just like the flat, like it was tough watching. But I remember when Alex Smith was drafted. I remember there was one game, and I want to say 08. He that training camp, he re-injured his shoulder. And he was out for the year. And I remember standing there in the dugout, you know, and they, because at Candlestick, the entrance to the players' locker room was the dugout, the old Giants dugout.
Yep.
And I remember him walking back towards the dugout and fans just rained down on him with boos, man. I felt so bad for that dude. So it was good to see him go out there in 11 and have the season that he had before he had the concussion and then the seasons with the Chiefs. So definitely a lot that he went through. Alex Smith is a good dude. He did a lot of stuff for the community that just went undocumented. And I think it's great that he's on his way back, and I wish him the best.
Good stuff. We talked about this, I think, on Friday's show. You know, on one hand, you really, really applaud Derrick Henry. He's being a team guy. He's doing, what fans should want. He's not trying to take the Le'Veon Bell or Melvin Gordon or now Dalvin Cook approach or Ezekiel Elliott and make things really difficult and make it a story day in and day out. He could have easily not signed the tender, and it would have been a story day in and day out until whatever happened by July 15th. But instead, he signed it. So it's really turned into, I don't want to say a non-story, but not much of a story. So how do you think this is going to play out? Because we are exactly a month away from either learning that he's got a new deal or he's going to play on that one-year tender. So how do you think it's going to play out in the next month?
From everything that we've been told, they're going to get a deal done. They're working to get it done. So I think you have to kind of go by that. But if they don't get a deal done, I'll tell you one thing. There is no such thing as a hometown discount afterwards, you know, because I think Derrick Henry, he led the league in rushing, right? And he established himself as one of the best runners with the ball. So he definitely deserves to get a deal done. I know, you know, they're working to get it done, but at the same time, to have to play on the tag is kind of unfortunate, especially given as though he's someone that gets so many touches and is relied upon so heavily to make that offense go.
So do you think John Robinson is trying to play the shell game? He's moving around the shells and seeing which one's going to fall into place, or, you know, musical chairs waiting for the music to stop, and how much is that tied to, you know, the uncertainty of Clowney? Because there's going to be a lot of money attached to that. Because that's still in play, do you think that's what's holding it up?
I don't really think that's what's holding it up. I think really when you have a guy who's coming off the rushing title, right, established himself as last year the best running back as far as running the football is concerned, I think you have that, and then you have one of the major agents in Jimmy Sexton. When I look at both of those things, it tells me, listen, one of the parts of the deal has to be the most ever for a running back. And if it's not, it's almost like Jimmy Sexton didn't maximize the opportunity. So I think that may be what's in the way, just figuring out what is going to be an all-time high. Is it going to be average salary? Is it going to be guaranteed money? Is it going to be fully guaranteed money? What is it going to be? And I think that's in my opinion, a hurdle that they have to figure out.
Teron Davenport is with us. And as you say that, Teron, I think you're right. But I do wonder, and as you know, I was watching some discussion along the lines of Dak Prescott's negotiation as well. Looking ahead, we know the NFL is not in as precarious a position as other leagues because they don't rely on the gate as much. So if they go through a season with partial fans, no fans in some cases, whatever ends up happening, financially, they still should be okay as long as they're able to play the games and televise the games. But I do wonder if the economics in front of them are slowing down the ability to hit a new level, right? If you're Derrick Henry, you just laid it out perfectly. You know, they want to raise the bar. They're in a position to take advantage of this one opportunity they're going to have, you know, as client and agent here. But it has to be clouded a little bit with the uncertainty of what we're going to see in terms of revenue generated.
Yeah, I would think it's going to be somewhat clouded because, hey, I mean, let's face it, the gate is not the biggest revenue stream, but it's a significant one. So if that is going to be different, then yeah, for sure, these guys are going to, you know, lose money, and you have to make sure that you adjust accordingly. So, that's a good point.
How intertwined? I think Darren was getting at this a little bit too, but I'd love to hear you discuss it a little bit further. We got into an interesting debate, which I hadn't really thought about until Friday when we started kicking it around, is how intertwined we think the Henry deal, the certainty of knowing where it's going to be the next 2 or 3 years, and what you have to offer a guy like Clowney at this point. How intertwined are they in your mind?
I really don't think they're very intertwined, to be honest with you. I think they have the financial situation to handle both of them. And I don't think that's going to be too much of an issue. I feel like as if the main thing right now is getting things situated with Henry. And obviously Clowney is a guy that they feel that matches what they want to do, and the fit is there. But I mean, at this point, you don't know. But one thing you do know is that Derrick Henry will be suiting up for you. So in my opinion, I think it's not as intertwined. I think Henry is more of a certainty. And I don't think that they're allowing the question marks around Clowney to cloud what they're trying to do with Henry.
Do you think as we go into July, let's just take July 4th, that Clowney will still be sitting there as a free agent?
I do. I think he'll be sitting there into just before training camp, to be honest with you. And
really?
Again, as things continue to get closer to training camp, that just points more in the direction of him becoming a Tennessee Titan. But I think he will sit because, between now and July 4th, what real certainty, more certainty can they get as far as what's going to happen with the season and training camp? So I think for sure he's going to be around at that time.
We're talking to Teron Davenport, Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN. And I want to get your thoughts on something that's not Titans related. It's sports related. I'm sure that you have seen, like a lot of us, that Alvin Kamara, Bernard Pollard, they've been tweeting about NASCAR because NASCAR's announcement last week that they've banned the Confederate flag at races. Bubba Wallace, of course, is an African-American driver who's been speaking out against that. And Alvin Kamara actually was a guest of NASCAR at the races yesterday and donned Bubba Wallace gear. I think this is very cool. It's another way of sports bringing people together. I think it shows the support for culture and everything going on in our world right now. But I was just curious of your thoughts about that and Alvin Kamara going to the race.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool that you're starting to see that cross promotion between the NFL and NASCAR. And just the fact that he was there, Alvin Kamara, to support, that also opens up, because I'm going to look at it for what it is. It's definitely an opportunity for them to expand into a new market, a relatively untapped market. So if you could get guys like Bubba Wallace to cross over into guys like Alvin Kamara and Brad Daugherty is another guy that they could use to get that black fan into NASCAR. And I think that's a whole area that is relatively untapped, and that will only do good for the sport itself. So yeah, it's good on all angles, and it's definitely good to see, people coming together. I've never been to a NASCAR event, but being as though it's going to be right here in Nashville at some point, I definitely intend to go see a game or a game, go see a race. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, TD, we're getting you to a race. That's for sure. Cause I think you would enjoy it. Because I've been a fan of the sport for a very, very long time, but I also know the stigma that was connected to it. And yeah, the Confederate flag was very prominent at a racetrack, and I'm glad to see them make those changes. But I'm curious for you, just, somebody from Philadelphia, from the North, where maybe it's not as prevalent. Pennsylvania, of course, has the races at Pocono, but how did you view the sport before maybe what's happened in the last few weeks and what's been going on?
Honestly, I never really paid attention to it, to tell you the truth. I viewed it as a sport that was kind of after the major three sports, right? And then fourth with hockey. So I never really even paid attention to it that much. I remember Jeff Gordon, so I would read about him in Sports Illustrated and whatnot and see him on SportsCenter, but for the most part, I just distance myself. It's not really something that's huge for the sports fans up in the North, Northeast especially.
What did you make of the statement that Amy Adams Strunk put out last week?
I thought it was outstanding, and it just further shows how thorough of a person she is, right? And I really have been impressed with Miss Amy, just in my time here, right? Getting to deal with her in different circumstances and just seeing the way the players love her and the way that she interacts with the players, I think is just another example, right? And for me, I pair this with when Jeffrey Simmons was drafted and the way that she, stood up for him I loved it, and now she's willing to stand up for her players if they choose to peacefully protest, and I think it's just outstanding. Her statement really said a lot, and it was actually more than most other owners said, you know, at that point. And I think, you know, what she's willing to do is awesome. And then furthermore, this is a lady who puts her money where her mouth is, because you look at around this time last year, they put out a lot of money. I want to say $450,000, I believe it was. But they donated money to different organizations within the Nashville area that, you know, if it wasn't social injustice, it was, you know, making things better in the community. One way or the other, it was impacting the minorities. And I think, you know, what she's done has just been an excellent example of how you should be as a person when you're in such a powerful position.
Last thing. Will Colin Kaepernick be on a roster this upcoming NFL season?
That's something I'm going to believe when I see. So I'm going to say until he is on a roster, I won't believe it. So in my opinion, no. Although I think he is a very capable player, but I'm going to say no. And you know, I challenge the NFL to prove me wrong.
Are you familiar with the game show Let's Make a Deal?
No, I don't watch too many game shows. My wife, she's always on Game Show Network, and she knows that's a good way to get me out of the room.
So do you want to know what's behind? Do you want to know what's behind door number two, or are you just fine ending it like this? Or do you want to take a sneak peek behind door number two?
You might as well let me know. Give me a peek.
Let's do it. Good choice, Teron. Let's end with this. Let's peek behind door number two. You know, on this show, we've talked a lot about the Titans' backup quarterback situation. What could be behind door number two? Do you think that is something that John Robinson and the Titans should explore as a potential landing spot?
I think it should definitely be explored. I mean, he has a game that is similar to Ryan Tannehill's as far as, you know, being a mobile player, a mobile quarterback. Being a quarterback that can make plays down the field, I think it should be explored. Yeah, for sure. Why not? You don't lose anything.
You can tell your wife you played a little bit of Let's Make a Deal today. She'll be proud of you.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing this as always. Have a great week.
Yeah, you guys take it easy.
All right. We were just talking with TD. That is his podcast. Check it out every week. He does a tremendous job. Usually drops it on Wednesdays. You can hear it, of course, on these airwaves as well. We will come back and discuss that on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is What I Know coming up at 11:45, and this is, I could probably say, maybe this falls into that category. This is What I Know. I've been saying on this show, guys, that we have turned a corner. What does that mean? It means it's not a 5-minute news story. This is real. This is real movement. Our country is changing. At what level? I don't know. How far is this going to go? I don't know. But I do know that things are changing. This is different. This is different than stuff that we've had in the past. And part of that, going around the corner and moving toward, pushing toward change, is I think it's going to absolutely reopen the Colin Kaepernick discussion. It's going to change that narrative. I believe that if he wants back in and he can play at this level, he's still got it. I think a door is going to open for him. I really do. Now, I don't know if he can play at this level now. He's been off so long, I don't know what he looks like. You read stuff, it sounds like he's been staying in shape, and that's all great, but you've got to be more than just staying in shape. I don't know if he can make the throws. I don't know about that. All I know is if he can still compete at this level, because things have changed, I think a door is going to be open for him if indeed people feel like he can still play at this level. And so I do think that that conversation piece is going to open back up. How serious does it get? I don't know. I just know that it's no longer, because we kind of got to the point of, okay, are we really going to go down this path again? Like we've beating this horse up. It's, you know, it's dead. It's in the glue factory. Come on. I mean, it's very clear that he's not going to sign anywhere. He's not going to be on a team. I don't feel that way today as I have felt in the past. But like I said, I also don't know what he looks like today and what he throws like today. And I know we saw the video last offseason, but, you know, that's been a while now since I don't know how long it's been since that video surfaced and he was supposed to have the tryouts. What was that, probably 4 months ago? Something like that? I don't remember the time frame on that. But
I feel like it was longer than that.
Yeah, it may have been longer than that. So what do you guys think? If indeed that door is wide open again and people are going to give him serious looks, should the Titans be one of those teams?
It's a legit question, I think, because we have kicked around here for a while. You know, is it when you have Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback and you look at his injury history, just like most quarterbacks in the league, you know, he is not among the most durable. He's had his share, and he's getting to an age where it's difficult. It's reasonable to think over the next few years you're going to need some key starts by a backup, and who gives you the best chance of winning those starts at the right price. Now, let's turn back the clock a little bit, because this is really the shame of the Colin Kaepernick thing, right? He last played in the league in 2016. That was the year that he did all this. Mm-hmm. For the last few years, right, we have all, up until last year when the Titans signed Ryan Tannehill to challenge Marcus Mariota, for 2017 and 2018, they had 2 years where they went with Matt Cassel 1 year and Blaine Gabbert the other, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you so, know and how Darren, you were the one
and you know
really
how I
saying.
Felt about them. Yes.
Yeah.
Not as people.
Right. Absolutely.
As backup
you made no bones about it. They did not invest. Yes. And so I feel good retroactively saying at the time, because I said it. Now, I don't know all of what was happening behind the scenes. I can't say what every team was saying, but I think we know reasonably that Colin Kaepernick was not eligible, not considered by plenty of teams, right? And I also, you used to hear a lot when we would have the discussion, well, he just wants to be a starter. He wants starter money. He's not willing to be a backup. But retrospectively, right, would we have not sit there, could we have not said in 2017 and 2018, had they had Colin Kaepernick as their backup to Marcus Mariota, they could have, that might have been worth a win or two on both of those 9-7 seasons. Right? I mean, think about the game mm-hmm. Matt Cassel played down in Miami.
Yeah. Think about the Indianapolis
game. Would you
game
agree
here?
With that? Like, I know it was extremely sensitive situation, and there was all the backlash, and we know we can't rewrite history, right? But here we are in a window where I think a lot of people have reconsidered their position on what he did, right? When you really look back on it, I mean, he said from the start, it's about police brutality. All the things that people are protesting about today, that's why he started it. And it got very molded together. We know what the issues were, and what happened happened. But you're asking the question today. I think that's it's a great question. Could he still be a better backup than a lot of guys in the league? I think it's very possible. He'd have to work out and all that stuff, but I hope he gets a fresh start. But what will be sad is he sat out 3 years before anybody's even going to take a look at him with any kind of seriousness.
That's what I worry about. Has he been,
can't
has
get
he
those
been
years
out
back.
Too long? Has he, you know, and that's a different subject, obviously, but I do worry. Has he been out too long? That being said, I still would bring him in for a workout when they're allowed to do so. I still want to get a look at him. I said 2 years ago, to your point, Willie, that I think he should have been signed here and been Mariota's backup, because he would have been better than the other slappies they were throwing out there.
You can't be funny about it. I feel comfortable saying, because I was bringing that to the table, and saying, well, why aren't they considering him? Like and a lot of people were finding reasons why he wasn't that good, and so I was like, come on, he is so much better than the backups
completely
out there.
Agree.
Now, if he privately was saying, I don't want to go anywhere, unless I'm the starter. I don't know that that was true or not true, but I just knew, look at his numbers. He was better than tons of quarterbacks that were out there and available as backups.
Yeah, so I definitely believe it, that he should be considered, and nothing against Logan Woodside, but you can't tell me for a second that a quarterback that played in a Super Bowl at a pretty high level isn't an upgrade over Logan Woodside. I mean, it just that I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure that out. So I certainly wish they would. I know that there would be a lot extra that comes with him, but, you know, in our changing times, I don't know if that's a bad thing. So I think they should. I totally do.
I mean, obviously, this has got to be a business decision, right? It's got to make sense. I mean, he's got to look the part. I mean, I'm not bringing this up just to say, hey, because I feel like we've turned the corner and things are moving in the right direction and there's a new narrative in this country that's the reason. I'm saying if he can play, I feel like the mindset has changed. I think the door is going to be open if he can still play to land on a roster. And if that's the case, we've brought it up many times on this show. Once again, not personal, don't know anything about these guys. You got a rookie, late round rookie pick, and Logan Woodside. I mean, I don't know how maybe they're comfortable with that. I'm not. I'm just not. If Ryan Tannehill were to go down for 3 weeks, are you comfortable? 3 wins or a couple of wins or a win with those guys? Maybe it happens. One of them, I don't know, maybe it happens, but I'm not truly comfortable. I was beating that drum for years, and they went out and they made the trade for Ryan Tannehill, and it saved their season. It changed everything about this franchise because they had a capable backup quarterback who is now their new starting quarterback and their franchise quarterback. If they didn't have him and they still had one of those guys, the cast off, all the lists that we've been looking at, right, for the last several years are going, yikes. Oh, that guy's still in the league? I mean, all those names, if that were the case last year, it wasn't going to be he was replaced because of an injury. He got replaced because he wasn't effective. And so they would have just stuck, you know, with Mariota. And don't tell me that they would have been the same outcome. I mean, don't tell me they get in the playoffs. Don't tell me they go to the AFC Championship game, because that would not have been the case. It would have been a lost season. That's why I said it's important, because I've seen it here before. I've seen what a good backup quarterback can do, and look what New Orleans did. You know, look at the backups around the league. Look what Dallas did. Okay, they are securing themselves. If anything is to happen to their franchise quarterbacks, they've got a really capable backup quarterback in the wings sitting there, and they feel like they can plug and play and not miss a beat. You have to have that. Like, you can't depend on 16 games unless a guy just has a history, your starting quarterback, of never, ever getting hurt and playing 16 games every single year, and that has happened. But Ryan Tannehill isn't that case. So, to me, if you can look at him and you can get a real tryout and you can examine, you know, what he looks like, and you feel like he is still capable of helping you at this level, I think it's a real conversation. Once again, getting back to Willie, what we used to talk about in those conversations, I don't know what kind of money he's looking for. I don't know what his role is. I don't know what he's looking for, you know, as to be his role. I don't know if he's comfortable being a backup. I don't know any of these things. I'm just bringing up that if he was okay being the backup, if he was okay for a certain price, if he can play at this level, should the Titans consider it? My answer is, heck yes.
Well, I don't think he has a choice.
They didn't consider him before, right? And that was a question that was asked, right, to John Robinson a few years ago. They didn't consider him. And so I think the entire league, I would like to see a discussion of, you know, trying to have, let's just talk about it, right? It happened. You can't change the history, but here we are in a reflective period where we're trying to look all of ourselves in the mirror. And I think the NFL should do that as a league and say, you know what, we kind of wronged this guy. This guy clearly could have upgraded somebody's roster, but there were a lot of issues. It starts from the top. Every individual team certainly, you know, could have done something on their own. But you look at the backups for the Titans in 2017 and 2018. Let's take 2018, right? We mentioned the Miami game that Matt Cassel had to start in 2017. The offense was extremely limited. They lost to a team with Jay Cutler quarterbacking that they should not have lost, right? They were better than the Dolphins, but they lost that game. Fortunately, they still got into the playoffs, but that's a win that they used where they chose to go with Matt Cassel. Now, it's easy for me to say that, right? Matt Cassel was a great team guy, right? I used to defend Matt Cassel, too, right? He was the right kind of guy for a lot of reasons to be a backup. It wasn't personal, and he had a lot of intangible qualities behind the scenes that probably were very helpful to Marcus Mariota.
But his level of talent
on the field
was not very good.
Yeah.
It just wasn't.
Not comparable. Same thing with Blaine Gabbert. You know, the Titans had a chance to play their way in. They had squeezed everything out of Blaine Gabbert. They got a couple of wins from him, doing what he could. You know, he played eight games in 2018. He went 2-1 as a starter. That's about as great as you could have expected. But that last game against the Colts, it's not even close, you would think, right? Who was a more talented quarterback that might have given them a better chance to win between Gabbert and Colin Kaepernick? But it was never considered back then.
Yep.
Just like every other team, right? Every other team, I mean, most of them didn't consider it. You heard Pete Carroll. You heard some others say, we did consider it. And maybe in retrospect, I wish we would have signed him. But somewhere they've got to make that right. They've got to have more of a discussion. I'd like to see that happen to try to clear the path to have more and more to where at least maybe it might be too late. Maybe Colin Kaepernick's not as good as he was 3 years ago or 2 years
ago. That's my only concern.
You can't get those years back of age, the rust and all that stuff. He's paid a heavy price.
Yep. Let's go to Steve. He's on hold. What's up?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. Obviously, we don't know the details of the settlement Kaepernick has with the NFL, but what if in that settlement he agreed to never play again? Just a thought.
Yeah, that's another, I guess, another layer to this. I don't know.
See, that's another thing. I don't know all the details of that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. But don't you think if you're the NFL and knowing the climate right now, if he still has an interest in playing, I think you might move past that. You kind of get back together and go, if you want to play, then we'll figure it out.
Well, I've seen stuff written out there this weekend about him landing on teams, and so I would think that narrative wouldn't be out there if people knew that he had signed something part of that deal the settlement that he would never play again in the league. I would have to imagine that would get out there, and people wouldn't be writing stuff on it, right? But I saw stuff written over the weekend about him, possibly returning to the league. So, do you think that would be out there if there was something in a settlement that says he would never play in the league again?
Probably not.
That's kind of what I tend to lean that way.
But what I do know is he's also not the only guy that took a knee for the anthem, right? Others did it, and they weren't near. They didn't play nearly the price. He became the person that paid the price for 3 years. And I know there's a lot of reason for that. It's a very, long story, detailed story, but you look back at where we are today, it really is eye-opening when it comes back to him.
Just curious that, one, if he's going to get another shot, another crack at it, and two, if that were the case, should the Titans be one of those teams? I mean, I don't think there's any doubt when you look at their backup quarterback situation and people believe, including us, that they're going to be good, which should have even more importance. That people believe they are a team that not only is going to be good, that could absolutely win the division. And some people have them pegged as the division favorite. So if you are in that position, it's vitally important to make sure that you've got something reliable waiting in the wings in case your starting quarterback can't give it a go or has to leave a game or can't play a game. And so I do wonder if those conversations are being had, and I do wonder if indeed in about a month and a half from now, if we're talking about Colin Kaepernick in somebody's camp trying to make a roster.
I think
I'd be curious to see.
I think we could potentially be talking about Colin Kaepernick, and he's tried out. Now, whether that means he's, again, and I just put this as he's been out for 3 years, so what does that mean? What does he look like? But I could potentially see that being the case, that a report comes out, he tried out for X team, and either, you know, and they looked at him like he's been out for 3 years. He's just not in shape. Or he gets signed. But I think that there could definitely be something to that on that front.
I'm seeing that there's an accident on I-24 East around the Bell Road area. Looks like it's down to one lane. So if you are heading I-24 East around the Bell Road area, just be aware that there has been an accident, and it looks like it's down to one lane. So you may want to look for alternative route, or just be prepared to be slowed down and probably send in a little bit of traffic around that area. We will come back and close up hour number two with This Is What I Know. It's very simple. Just tell us what you know. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We do want to know what you know. It's very simple. It's a wide open canvas. Take it however you want. Just keep it clean. What do you know? The best to WIC will receive a Nashville Underground $25 gift card. So a gift card to Nashville Underground is on the line. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This is what I know, guys. It was good to get back out on the baseball field. I can tell you that.
I was going to ask.
It was good to get back out there this weekend and have a little tournament action. Everything went off well. They only had half the fields open. I felt safe. Everything I thought was done well, and it was good to get out there. It was good to get the boys out there. So our first tournament of the year. Can't believe the first tournament of the year was in mid-June, but that's the case. But it was definitely good to get out there. So I know that. I also know that I saw Ian Rappaport during the break said that the star running back for the Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott, is one of the players who have tested positive for coronavirus.
Yeah, I saw that. That's unfortunate. But I saw that report just a little bit ago. So how'd you guys look?
We did well. I mean, we did good. I mean, it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to. It was an 18-team tournament. We had the first game. We were the first ones up. And, you know, we would eventually, that team would, because what you do is you play two games, and then you're seeded, and you're put in pods and brackets, and there's a triple-A bracket, which is the top bracket, and a double-A bracket. And the team we played in the first game was the number one overall seed in the tournament, and we led most of the game. We went into the final inning, tied at 7, and lost 11-7. So it was a heartbreaker. We battled them all the way to the end. It was a great game. Like I said, they ended up being the number one seed in the tournament. They would go on to get upset, by the way, on Sunday. They did not win the tournament, but we bounced back in game two, had a really nice victory, won 16-4. Boys looked really good. We put it all together and just really had our way in game two. You know, it was a nice bounce back. And then we got seeded 7th in the AAA bracket, and we had to play the 2 seed. So we played the 1 seed overall and the 2 seed overall, and we lost on Sunday 15-13. And we had a runner at third with our number 4 hitter up, and it didn't happen. I honestly thought we were gonna tie it up or take the lead. I really did. It was a crazy game. It was fun, but it stinks because, you know, we just played one game. But we played the top 2 teams in the tournament, and we battled them all the way to the end. We're close. We're close, but we're not there yet. But overall, it was a really good experience.
Well, that's good. I'm glad it was fun. Glad you were able to get back out there, because I know that you and Maddox and everybody else have missed it. And thank you for answering my question on Facebook.
Yes, you had a very good question. I was really proud of him. Maddox played his tail off. He was really good this weekend, and I told him so. I'm pretty hard on him, but when he's good, you know, I certainly praise him because he was really good.
Is he still playing the hot corner, or is he at second?
Well, he did. He was at third on Saturday for both games, but we had one of our really good players get hurt in warmups on Sunday. He couldn't play.
Oh.
So we lost him. And he's one of our star outfielders. He catches everything, and I pushed Maddox to the outfield to replace him and put another kid at third. And so he played the outfield on Sunday and did really good. Everything that came to him, he caught, made outs,
cool,
and threw a kid out at second. So, you know, he did it. But that was unfortunate because our catcher, who's really good, went down the day before the tournament, so he couldn't even go on Saturday. So he was out on Saturday, played on Sunday, and then one of our top players in the outfield and one of our good players got hurt in warm-ups on Sunday, hurt his thumb, and couldn't go on Sunday. So we just had a lot of things going against us, but, you know, it's not an excuse. We battled. We weren't good enough yet. Yet, I say that.
Yet. Hey, he wears 25, and I can think of another outfielder that was pretty good that wore 25. So.
Yep. He does wear 25. What do you guys got?
All in the building blocks, Darren. It's all in the building blocks.
I know.
Back to the summer of the 8-year-olds. Oh, boy, that's fun. Fun baseball, wild baseball, the last year before the kids take them out. So it's all part of the developmental process. All right, this is what I know. $640 is more than $500. Okay?
That is correct.
I understand basic math. All right, so let's say, Chase, you're an umpire, and you get invited to go umpired at Darren's ball club's tournament. Okay, big weekend, a lot of games going on, and I say, Chase, what's your price per game? You know, what do you charge to umpire a game? And you say $100.
Probably
$100 a game.
Probably $150 for dealing with Coach Darren. But I see your point. Go on.
Okay. We're going to say for simple math purposes, because we don't want to have this. This is radio, right? I just want to keep this simple. You tell me $100. And I say, Chase, I really need you for more games. You know, my budget, I can either pay you $100 a game, but I can only pay you for 5 games. But I can pay you $80 a game for 8 games. All right, and so you can either say, I'm a man of principle, I charge $100 a game, and you make $500. Or you can say, yeah, okay, I'll take the $80 a game for 8 games, and you can make $640. You would make more money if you drop your principle just a little bit.
Correct.
That's essentially what the baseball players have done. They have basically said, I will take less money because, in principle, I want to get paid 100% of my prorated salary. They are turning down making more money to play more games because they won't take 80% rather than 100% of their prorated pay. So that's what I know. They would make more money if they played more games at 80%. It's simple math. But to them, it's about the principle and it's about more than that. And great. Proud of you guys. So now we're going to watch a 50-game season when you could have made more money to play 72 or 75 games.
Even Chase
it is
and I
mind-boggling.
Aced your math test. Even we
did.
Nailed
yeah.
it. Even us.
So I mean you're coming out of there with more money, but you just make a little less per game because you're doing more games. Would you guys take that? Does that make sense? I mean, you make $640 or you make $500?
Do you really need to ask us?
It makes total sense.
Okay.
Okay, I can go. I'll go quickly.
Ask and answer.
This is what I know. I thought it was really cool that Alvin Kamara was a guest at the Homestead Miami Speedway for NASCAR, and I think that's cool that would have new fans like Alvin Kamara and our guest at 1 o'clock, Bernard Pollard. I think that is really, really neat, and I hope to see even more of that. But there was a rain delay, so during the rain delay, you guys have heard me talk about iRacing. I actually competed in my very first iRace. I finally got off the practice track and decided I'm going to go for the real thing. So I entered a race, and there were 20 cars. I finished 12th. I was four laps down, which I've been told is actually normal for your first time.
Okay.
Ran as many as I could. Did have one little issue at the start of the race, but other than that, stayed away from other cars, kept it clean, and my safety rating actually went up. So I thought it was a good run for the 102.5 the game car, so I enjoyed it.
Very nice. Well done. 12th is not bad.
Not bad.
Of 20, not bad.
Not bad.
You can improve on that, though.
Got something to build on.
All right. Good job. 615-737-1025. Tony is up first. Tony, what do you know?
Gentlemen, with a little Walter Cronkite, breaking news music, or little dot-dot-dot-dots in the background.
Okay.
Giving you guys an update. Called you Friday about me opting out of a family golf outing. I'm sure y'all remember that.
Yep, we do.
Well, this is what I know. I'm damn glad I made the right decision.
Oh. Did they finish by darkness?
They did, but the scores were rather high after they condensed it to a 9-hole outing, and they did pick up on 3 or 4 holes. So with a high scoring card, after picking up on holes, I know I made the right decision, and that's what I know.
Over, under 100. Nine holes, over, under 100.
They were under. They were under considerably. I think, a 70, 65, and a 60.
Okay.
And, but I think some of those scores were generous scores, given that they picked up on some of the holes.
Thank you, Tony.
I'll give you an update. That's
okay.
What I know.
Appreciate
See you
it.
Guys.
All right. He's examined the scorecard, and he still feels good about his decision. All right, that's good. All right, 615-737-1025. Let's go to Doug. Doug, what do you know?
Fellas, I've got two things that I know. One is relative to things that are going on today, and one is relative to something I told you guys I would do. And this is what I know. Love them, like them, hate them. Colin Kaepernick is going down in history for what all is going on. From what he did to now, his name will be mentioned in all this somewhere in history. That is what I know. And the other thing that I know is I told you guys that I would give you a call just in case they were going to throw the band back together, because I told you that I worked at the Speedway. Well, this is what I know. There's been an unofficial inquiry of calling saying, hey, who wants to get back in for the last dance and throw the band back together? So I received an unofficial call from one of the guys. And it's a possible thing that we can do it one more time, one for the Gipper or grand finale or whatever you want to call it. But they're calling.
Did you answer? Did you give an answer? And you
I sent back my credentials just to let them know, even though they're experienced for 3 or 4 years, I sent them back to show them how I felt about it.
Are you a yes?
Oh, I'm all in.
All right. All right.
It's kind of like friends, man. If you think that it's nice to have a grand finale of friends, somewhere down the line, you got to have one. So if I don't do anything else, we got to go out with a bang. What do you get a chance? So let's go out with a bang.
I love it.
Limpin' and gray, we're going to do it one more time, man.
This is what I know.
This is
I'm
good.
I'm going to find Doug at the racetrack and say hi.
Oh, what are you talking about? Doug's going to get us on the track.
With the change of things, man, I look like a rock star out there.
Hey, we're gonna be on the track because we've been given clearance, and you're gonna help us get back on the track.
Well, with the changes of times with Alvin Kamara and Bernard Pollock, can go out there and you know represent. I mean, I look like a rock star out there. I may just walk around and treat you guys like bad dance, get brushed off because I look like a rock star.
Thank you, Doug. All right, we're getting a lot of updates. This is good. So Doug like says it. The band is getting back together at the Nashville Super Speedway, and he's in. All right, let's go to Paul. Paul, what do you know?
Hey, guys. I know I'm way late to the game on this, but I just finished the last dance last night. And here's my big takeaway from it. Willie D really wants to sound like Bob Costas. You guys sound exactly the same when you call the Preds games. You are the hockey Bob Costas. That's my takeaway. That's what I know.
All right. Well, we're going to have Bob Costas on the show tomorrow at this time, at noon tomorrow. Great segue. And a great compliment.
I can't.
I'll take it as a compliment. I don't try to imitate any one person, but Bob Costas has been a big influence on so many broadcasters, I think, who are around my age. He's one of the greatest of all time, for sure.
Yeah, Bob doesn't have a catchphrase like, "Oh, my laundry," so you have that.
Let's sneak one more.
He doesn't
more
need
in.
Anything.
Nate, what do you know?
This is what I know, fellas. I think some people are in Williamson County are forgetting that we are in the middle of a pandemic. I kind of was one of those people the other night. I went to a local watering hole and, you know, was having a good time. And, I mean, it wasn't that crowded, so, you know, that's good. But they told me that they play poker on Wednesday night. And I was like, okay, cool, I'm in. And then, you know, I get back into the car with my fiance. We're, you know, talking. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Are they all just sitting at one table playing side by side? And I think that's the case every Wednesday night. So.
Did you think it was online? What did
no,
you think?
No, I didn't think it was online. I just wasn't thinking at that time. And so I was like, yes, poker Wednesday. And then I'm like, oh, yeah. I don't know about that now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all right. All right. Good stuff, Nate. Yeah. I think Williamson County is not the only county that's kind of forgotten that there's still a virus out there that's going on. All right. We will. Good stuff. We'll get a winner and we'll come back. We'll start hour number three by heading east. We bring in Vince Ferrara next.
This is Amy Brown from Feeling Things with Amy and Kat. Back to school season always feels like a fresh start, not just for kids, but for all of us. It's a great reminder to create new routines and find meaningful ways to connect with our family, friends, and community. Hasbro Games make it easy to gather around the table. Put the screens away, share some laughs, and create joyful memories together. Whether it's Monopoly, Connect Four, Guess Who, or another family favorite, there's something for everyone. You can find these and other Hasbro favorites at your local Walmart, walmart.com, or simply tap the link in today's show notes to bring more play into your week.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.